humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. That is a revival. That is what the revival is all about. It's about coming back and turning away from sin. Only when you turn away from sin will God stop everything just to hear from you. And then he will forgive you of your sin. And then he will heal the land. So you come first. He will hear from you and then forgive your sin. Before he do anything else that he has to do, he's gonna forgive your sin and then he's gonna heal the land. But you first must turn from your wicked ways. And that is a revival of life. You see, Jesus came and he died on Calvary because we needed CPR.
Wow.
We needed CPR. So when we pray, you don't understand. You are participating in CPR because when you do CPR, what you got to do? Get on your knees. Amen? You have to get on your knees. And then you got to start. And you have to start moving. And when you move, you have to move the heavens with your mouth, with your prayer.
My God.
Now, when you move the heavens with your prayer, that's when God stops everything just to hear from you. And when he hears that you want to be forgiven of your sins, he will forgive your sins. And then, whatever it is you're asking for, whatever it is you need done, that he will do. But he will not do it until he hears that you want to be forgiven of your sin. That's when your CPR will begin to take place. Because when your heart stops, you stop.
Amen.
And when God starts putting his CPR in, that's when your heart starts living again. And that is the revival. I'm sorry. I took up a lot of time, but I just needed to say that because God dropped that in my heart today as I was thinking on calling in and letting people hear what the revival was all about. And when it was said to go back to the beginning, I remember back to the beginning when I heard that passage. And I wasn't even in the church when I heard the passage, but that passage has stuck to me to this very day. To this very day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Elder, thank you for calling in. I'm excited about these 30 days. Listen, I wish I had 30 days of PTO time. Cause look at here.
Yeah, Lord, no.
Look at here listening to you guys on the phone and in the studio today. I don't want to miss a night. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Elder, thank you for calling in. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, and God bless you guys, and may peace be on us to each and every one that hear this record, hear this voice, and hear you guys. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Amen. Minister Levante?
All right. I want to talk about this revival, too. You know, as when Apostle gave me the theme of the revival, back to the basics, preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I've been thinking of this thing for a while now, and I may be young in the ministry. I may not have grown up in ministry all my life. I may not be that seasoned, but I know what I see in the church today. I know what I see in the body of Christ today, and the body of Christ has grown so far from what the gospel is. The body of Christ has gotten so far from what Jesus was preaching that we are lost in ourselves. The body of Christ have no idea who they are. The body of Christ has no identity in God because they're too busy following after themselves. Love. The Bible says in the last days may become lovers of themselves, and we can see that demonstrated in the body of Christ today. And how can we expect to bring people out of their bondage and their issues and their problems, their sins and their situations when we are the ones starting it? We are the ones that's mainstreaming the sin in the world. We're the ones mainstreaming wickedness and disobedience in the world. It starts with the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ, we can change all things.
Yes.
But we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to preaching Jesus Christ. We need to get back to praying and having midnight services, having prayer services. We need to get back to praising and worshiping God the same way the apostles did back in the old days. We need to get back to the old landmark.
Yes, yes.
You know, Iowa's group has an old soul.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Even now, the only songs or what I relate most to are the old hymns and the old gospel songs that used to be sung in the church. And now we have so many different beats and so many different ways of saying things, all this slang and all these things that the young people are coming up with, and though I may be a young person as well. But it's just not cutting it anymore. It's not doing it anymore. And if we're going to go back into the world and grab those people, we need to get back to our basics. We need to get back to what God stands for. We need to get back to what Jesus stands for. And we need to realize who God created us to be and who our Creator is at the end of the day. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do in this revival. I'm excited to see the change that's going to come from this revival. I'm excited to see the revelations that's going to be given and the deliverance and so many lives being saved and so many people that will understand who God is, who He truly is, who Jehovah truly is. So I'm excited to get back to the basics. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. Amen.
Amen. Minister, what you know about hymns?
I know a little something, you know.
Praise God. I got Aretha Franklin's gospel in my CD now. Amen. Amen. Amen.
He sang old hymns, and all I can think of is how I got over.
How I got over. My soul look back and wonder how I got over.
Oh my God, when you allow God to take control,
I'm telling you,
you will look back and wonder, how did I make it to this point?
Amen.
How did I get here? When you get back to that old thing, that root of a thing. The church has a root just like sin has a root. If we get back to the root of what the church was built on.
Yes, yes.
If we get back to the foundation, we will wonder, we will look back and wonder how we made it thus far. You look back and we will look back and wonder how did we make it this long. We will look back and wonder how could He do such a thing with such a small. Go ahead, bro.
Amen. It's just when you said foundation, God just dropped it in my spirit that what He's going to do in this revival is He's rebuilding the foundation that once was.
My God.
God said in the Bible that He's doing a new thing. Though we're going back to the basics and we're going back to the old landmark, God is rebuilding the foundation that he put Christ upon. He's rebuilding the foundation that He put His church upon. And it's our job in these last days, it's our job in this time and in this season, in this revival, to stick true to what God said in His word about being the foundation. God is rebuilding His foundation, and it's starting with us. You can believe me. You cannot believe me all you want to. I know what God said. He's rebuilding His foundation, and it's starting with us. It's time for the body of Christ to get themselves ready. It's time for the carpenters to get ready. It's time for the architects to get ready. It's time for the construction workers to get ready for what God's about to do in the body of Christ, the universal church. God's about to pour into many people in these last days. I'm telling you to watch out in these last few months of 2019, for what God is about to do in the church. You better get yourself ready, because God's about to pour out like He's never poured out before. He's rebuilding the foundation of the church. And if you're not going to be there with God, if you're not going to be one of the workers rebuilding that foundation, you better get yourself out the way, because God is going to remove you if you're not going to be a part of what God is doing in these last days. Get yourself ready. God is rebuilding the foundation of what He put the church upon.
All I can think about is the movie Coach Carter.
Oh, wow.
Listen, those boys were so skilled in what they did, but it wasn't until Coach Carter took them back to fundamentals. Yes. He took them back to basics that they, one, were able to come together as a team, but one was also able to achieve the playoff and almost made it to the championship. It was the basics that they used. It was the fundamentals that they possessed. You can have all the gifts and skills and talents in the world, but if you don't get the basics of a thing, if you don't get the foundation of a thing right, that thing will never stand. That thing will always be shifted and waver. It is time for us to be, the charismatic is cool, but it is time for us to actually speak to a thing, to tell that thing to leave. Listen here, when Jesus spoke to us, a spirit, that spirit left right then. It wasn't, they didn't have to tear with that spirit night, and they didn't have to tarry with that spirit for weeks. When he spoke to that thing moved. It's time to get back to basics, everybody.
Listen, you don't want to miss this 30-day revival at Jesus Way, 5544 58th Street North, Kansas City, Florida, 33079. 30 nights of sheer pandemonium, supernatural, godly explosion, getting ready to hit the land. And remember that today is another day of miracles. God bless you.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the river.
All right, it's that time. Time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are very glad to be with you today, live in the studio, as always. It's going to be a great show. Looking forward to it. Got some great stuff going to happen here. Dr. Angel Falzoni from our ministry team is right here with us, along with Megan Kramer, who will be calling in presently, soon. We've even got James and Maya here from the ministry, who are part of the radio team. So we'll bring them in at some point, and just going to have a great show. Looking forward to this time in the Word, looking forward to great music. Looking forward to the insights that God will bring as we talk about our series we are in right now. It's entitled Set Free. And so we're hoping today will be the day that perhaps you get set free from some things that have been binding you for a while. So can't wait to talk about it. So anyway, Dr. Angel, how's the practice going? And let me get your mic on. There you go. How's that? Is that better?
The practice is starting to build. I've been picking up some new patients. I've been making some collaborations with other providers. So things are going good. I'm feeling blessed.
So tell our listeners what we engaged in several months ago, what we joined forces to do.
So several months ago, we joined forces to move the church and to combine in with me doing private practice counseling. And so now we're Healing Happens Center, and it's amazing space. It's beautiful space.
It is beautiful. I love it. Yes.
I feel so blessed to be there every day because the peace in that building is just so refreshing, and it's awesome to watch God changing and healing lives all the time.
Absolutely, and you do get to be there every day, right? Up 7 days a week if you want, right?
I do, yeah. And there's been many times I've been there 7 days, yes, in a row, so.
Oh, there's Megan Kramer. How are you, Megan? You're on the air.
Hi. I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're great. We're better since we've heard your voice. We have not seen you since the last time we saw you. Just wanted you to know that.
I know, and I miss you guys.
Well, we miss you. So we hear you're coming our way in a couple weeks.
I am.
Yep, coming from that snowy, frozen tundra of Michigan. Are you having any snow yet?
Not yet. It's supposed to be maybe some little light dustings coming next week, which I'm planning on rebuking because I'm not ready.
Why aren't you ready? Why aren't you ready? What's wrong with snow?
Well, my piggies would rather be in sand than in snow.
Oh, well, this is good. So why don't you bring your little piggies down here to the beach in a few weeks?
I plan on it, and they're going to be in their flip-flops. All right.
There you go. Yeah, you might as well use your flip-flops because you won't be able to rest of the winter, right? So
that's right. You got that, girl.
Yeah, right. We got James and Maya that are in the station, and Maya's brother, Aaron, is here. And we are very glad to have Aaron with us. Maya, I'm going to flip your mic on, and James, you're too, for a second. And what's been going on, Maya? What's been going on in the ministry?
A lot.
A lot?
Life has been busy in the ministry.
Yes, we got a lot going on all the time.
We really do.
A lot of activities. You're the activities director, and we've got something going at least once a month, if not more, mm-hmm. often. That's pretty fun. We had a party a couple weeks ago that was crazy, wasn't it? The karaoke party.
Our karaoke party.
Yeah.
We had so much fun. So many people came out and sang.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was just different. James, you sounded great that day. And so James sang again today, Megan. He and Aaron. And Maya sang a trio of that old classic. What was it, James? I can't remember.
I'll Fly Away, my favorite hymn.
I do remember it. It was very good. You guys sounded great.
Thank you.
So it's just exciting to see the ministry growing the way it is, to see new people walking through the doors. So, James, for anybody out there listening that they've never darkened the doors of Beacon of Hope, what do you say to them?
Come one, come all. God is there.
Yes. The Spirit of the Lord was there, so present today.
I don't know, this morning just was, not saying our church services are, he's not there, but this morning you just, the songs were perfect.
Everything.
We had a service of prayer this morning, and it was beautiful, and the words coming from you or from God through
prophetic
you.
Prophetic words,
yeah. Sorry, I don't know those big words yet.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. A lot of
I'm
prophetic.
Simple little country boy.
That's all right. A lot of prophetic word going.
Yes, and kind of the things you said over me and my wife kind of hinted at what God's been talking to me this week.
It's what it should do. It should be confirmation.
Yeah, that's the word.
It should be confirmation. Yes.
So yeah, it.
Yeah, there's a lot of prophetic
it hit
word
home today.
Yeah, me too. To be in his presence, right?
Yes, ma'am. It was beautiful. I don't know any other.
To experience what God was doing. Angel, you want to comment? We can't ask Megan because she wasn't there. She was in Michigan.
Absolutely. The spirit was definitely there, and God was moving, and it was beautiful service.
We welcome everyone out there. If you don't have a church home, if you have a church home, we're not trying to get you away from anybody. But if you don't have a church home, come to 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. Join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday nights at 6:30 for Bible study. We're in a new series right now, which is great and fantastic, 6:30. We usually get out a little before 8. It's not real late. We have prayer meeting at 5:45 on Wednesdays. We have prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings and then service at 10. So it's kind of a busy schedule, don't you think, Maya?
Oh, yeah.
Along with activities and other things we do. But it's worth every minute of it, isn't it?
It is.
So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be on the radio again today in our 13th year. And we just give you the glory and the praise for amazing, amazing shows and anointed and amazing services. And, Lord, it's all about you. We want to lift you up. We want to glorify you. We want to speak your word today. And we want to teach the word. And we want to just bask in your presence. We're so excited that we can do that. And that's why we're here. So, Lord, bless the show. And we'll give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind, come to the well, yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind. Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind.
leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection,
leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection,
leave it all behind.
I like those words, your pursuit of perfection. And then the next line was your fear of rejection. Talk to me about that, because there are things that we do need to leave behind in our Christian walk. And this series is all about being set free. So being set free from some things so we can take on new things. And talk to us about that, Meg.
Well, you know, when you dive in to Christianity, to me, you want to leave the old you in the past. You want to let go of the old you, because you want to let the Lord shine through you, and you want to let the Lord give you the gift that he has bestowed upon you as a child of the King.
Amen.
And so, you know, fearing rejection, once you are in the kingdom, there is no rejection. That's gone. And you shouldn't fear rejection, because you have been accepted by the King of all kings, your
Creator. Amen. Absolutely.
So, you know, all of these humanistic things that you're worried about in regards to rejection should mean nothing to you anymore, because you're the child of the King. You walk in mercy, you walk in grace, you walk in peace, and it puts a little pep in your step, if you know what I mean.
It does. And you're right about that. But as we were talking this morning at Beacon, there are so many things like deep-seated rejection that we have to deal with, and sometimes we have to get that stuff rooted out of us, get set free, because a lot of us revert right back to that habit pattern of rejection because it's our normal. You know what I mean, Meg? You there?
I do, because it's easier to stay in the known. It's easier to stay where
right.
you're used to staying.
Right.
Change, winds of change can be difficult for people.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
You know, through the power of prayer,
yes.
the power of learning, of rejecting the attempts of the devil, that's where you learn to rebuke and refuse
exactly.
to go back to the old you.
And I think a lot of times people don't realize that they are still kind of stuck in that mentality from the past, where they almost find themselves gravitating towards people who will reject them and situations that are not good for them. You want to comment on any of that, Angel?
Oh, absolutely. And it's true. It's easy to revert back to old patterns. I mean, just look at the Israelites, you know, when God brought them out of Egypt, and then
right.
they are all of a sudden were faced with fear or unknown circumstance,
yes.
you know, instead of relying on all these amazing miracles that they just saw before their eyes, they went back to that slavery mentality and picking up their idols
right.
and, you know, because that was what they were used to. They kept reverting back. And for us, it's, you know, when we are in Christ, we are new. We have a new identity.
Yes, we do.
But we still have, we remember the old life, the old who we were, and we have to give those, surrender that constantly to God. It doesn't just go away one day because you said, you know, you accept God as your Savior, and that's Him developing us, you
developing
know, grace by grace. You
yes,
know?
Absolutely. Yes. And there are those times, Megan, we wake up and we go, man, I'm back in that same old thought pattern. You know what I mean, Meg?
My gosh, I do. It's like, because, you know, we kind of get stale, you know, and I do, you wake up and you're like, oh, here we go again. You know, we're doing
right.
the same thing again.
And, right.
And, you know, I've noticed that if I get up in the morning and
before my feet hit the floor or if I'm in the shower, that if I just send up a little prayer, like, good morning, Father, it's your beloved, it's Megan.
Right.
I need you today. I need you now to start mm-hmm. my day out on the right foot, and put some praise music on and learn that, you know, basking in the Holy Spirit, yeah, it may be just for a few minutes, but those few minutes set the cursor for your day, and it can get you out of that staleness, because it's easy to slip back, you know. It's easy to just go back into the old ways of, you know, not talking to the Lord, not taking time for Him. And that's where I think that, you know, life gets boring, is that that's when we put Him on the back burner, and it makes Him sad, because He wants to give us that love and that joy and that peace and that grace every minute of every day. And if we could just start out on the right foot and we maintain that connection with Him throughout our day, that's where that staleness will disappear and life becomes an adventure and it becomes fun.
Yeah, it really does. But so often, like you said, we tend to go back into those old habit patterns because that's familiar territory for us, right? And
of course
it's,
it is.
And so it's like, yeah, well, yeah, I know you're right there, God, but, you know, I'm still mad about this, or this person still drives me crazy every time I see them. It just makes me remember all the old stuff they did to me and blah, 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 blah. Angel, talk about that. And they have bedazzled the microphone connections in the studio now with Halloween paraphernalia. And you're going to have to look through there for me to see you and make contact. Are you seeing that?
I can see you.
Okay.
Yes.
So talk to us, Angel, through your bedazzled microphone stand.
All right. So this whole concept really, you know, I talked about the Israelites, you know, when they were in the wilderness, you know, God brought them from bondage, from that slavery, and they're in the wilderness, and He's getting ready to give them possession of the promised land, the place that He has for them.
Right.
And one of those verses is Exodus 23:30, where it's, little by little, I will drive them out before you.
Yes,
until
I love that.
You have increased enough to take possession. Could God have done it all in one day?
Yes.
Absolutely. But the Israelites had to have their mindset changed little by little, learn new patterns to replace the old patterns of
which
thinking.
Of course brings us right to counseling.
It sure
and
does.
Life coaching. And how that is a process. I would like to think that the moment that you get saved, all your old thought patterns, all your old habits are gone. They can be, you can reckon them dead, right? You can declare this is what you want freedom from. But it takes time to learn how to be set free and stay set free.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Right?
You know, and a lot of people, especially in the counseling room, they make this mistake is, you know, they have these destructive patterns that they've had previously, and they know it's wrong. They recognize it, so they just want it out of their life. So they let it go, but they don't replace it with the healthy pattern that they need.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so they have this, like, empty spot, and then it comes right back in because they've not replaced it with the growth that they need to make. And that's where getting in the Word of God and understanding the truth of His principles is where we learn to replace those old parts of us that are not serving us, so, you know, and helping us grow.
Now, see, this reminds me of my eating battle, okay? Because I can think, all right, you know what? I'm skipping lunch. Okay, because you know what? I don't need those calories. So I'm just going to skip lunch and save those calories, right? And along about 2:00, I'm like, where's the nearest candy bar? Right?
Yes.
And if I would have eaten something healthy at lunch, and so I've now training myself to do that, even though I may not be hungry right that moment, I'll eat something healthy so that I avoid the 2:00 Snickers bar break.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's not good for me.
Right.
So I am learning to train in advance. I'm anticipating that I know what's going to happen at 2:00.
Yes.
And I know. 2:30, maybe 2:40, but it's going to happen.
And you're
preparing. And I know it will when I'm getting hungry. I will get hungry.
Absolutely. And you're preparing for knowing that that's your pitfall. And so that happens to us emotionally as well, because, you know, we might struggle with anger or, you know, temper or impulsive things, and we don't prepare. You know, life happens and it squeezes us. And when we feel the squeeze, you know, when life is good, we can consciously not go back to those old patterns. But when the squeeze starts happening,
oh yeah, when the pressure comes in, yes.
If we do not have a plan to do it differently, we won't. We'll go back and do
that. Right. Talk to us, Megan, about that. Your eating habits or anything you'd like to discuss, Megan.
Well, my eating habits are not thy best. That's always been a struggle for me. But come January of this year, when at church they were talking about doing a Daniel fast, I decided I waited a little while because I kind of can procrastinate in my life. And so I waited a couple months and I thought, you know what? Flesh, the spirit is going to be stronger than the flesh.
Woo, yeah.
And so I decided that I would fast. And I fast a lot. And during those times that I'm not eating, I really focus on God. And yes, I'm working during the day, but my car is my worship center. And
sure.
My car
sure.
is my time with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's a blessing, because if I worked somewhere else in a cubicle like I used to, I wouldn't be able to do such a thing. But doing that, it worked, because then the spirit becomes alive. The spirit overtakes and the joy comes out. It overflows out of the bucket, like a bucket of water filling
there
up with water.
There you go.
And, you know, I'm happy, I'm hyper, but it's because I'm filled with the joy of the Lord.
There you go.
It's because I am trying my best to grow in the Lord, and it's a process. And everyone's journey is a process.
It is a process.
There's all things that we have to work on as humans, because we are not perfection. The only person that walked the earth that was perfect was Jesus Christ. And
right.
That's because that was God himself. But we can model our behavior of him and know that we can function on a level of where we're not fearful of rejection, where we're not fearful of having unhealthy food habits, where we're not fearful of things that people have said about us, where we're not fearful that we're going to be sexually abused, because we are protected by the Lord God Almighty. And, you know, it's the Christian walk. It's not any tougher than the walk without being a Christian. We just know that through the storm that we are learning, we're growing.
Right. We're growing.
It's a process. Yes. Sorry, I got windy.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So it is a process. And for those out there that go, okay, I understand the concept, but I am still struggling with things in my past. I am still struggling with things that I should not have done, or I'm still doing them. You know, it's this Christian walk is not a walk of perfection. It's a walk of daily trying to make the right decisions and become more like Jesus, to act like him, to understand who what his nature is. And it's sometimes, I just want to say it's hard. It's hard sometimes. Angel, talk to us. For those out there that struggle with things of their past, old habits, old ways that they used to always behave, you know?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who are struggling with pieces of their past. And I think, you know, God is constantly, when we surrender, he's growing, he's renewing us, he's transforming us into who we are becoming. And I think there's even things that we have in our past that we struggle with that we don't even realize are there, but we start to see it, and he reveals it as we're growing and maturing.
Absolutely. Don't you think that's the way it works, really?
Absolutely. But here's the thing. The human mentality is, when there's something going on in their past, is to just like stuff it back down or avoid it or not deal with it. And, you know, that verse on Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters,
yes,
I will
yes.
be there. And when yes. you pass through the rivers, they will not overtake you.
Right.
You know, and through the fires, you will not be burned. I think that really applies to the stuff in our life. It's passing through,
yes.
surrendering it, yielding it, and getting true healing. You know, we can't just forget it existed. It was a part of who we are.
Was
there.
I totally agree with that. And that's why I feel like so many people get saved, commit their lives to God, and then they realize, wait a minute, I still want to do those old things I always wanted to do. Sure. And so it becomes very frustrating, and almost a lot of people can doubt that God even forgave them of their sins because they still want to do the same stuff, or they still want to think that stinking thinking thing.
Sure, they're still stuck in thinking that they're less than, or that they're not lovable, or that they deserve to not be treated well, or they don't deserve good things in their life. And so
right.
then they set
yes.
themselves up in those decisions or relationships, or, you know, and they're not living to their God-given identity and calling.
Oh, absolutely.
But to live in that, that's going through the waters, going through the rivers, going through the fire, and it's like peeling back an onion, you know, and it's layer on layer. And you may have to go through several times in different parts of your life
right.
to deal with some core issues that
yes.
you might have because
yes.
it manifests itself differently at different stages in our life. And, you know, it's from healing to healing.
It is. It is. And I want to say to our listeners out there, if you feel like you've been working on this, your Christian life, it comes down to the point where we have to trust God to do the work in us and bring us to that point that we're ready to deal with something, or we are ready to take some strong action in our individual lives to overcome some things. James, do you have a comment on that? You kind of look to me like you're thinking very seriously here, so I'm going to give
yeah.
you an opportunity.
I'll say this for myself.
Okay.
But you have to recognize what he wants to work on.
Exactly.
Myself, I tried to work on a few things myself.
And exactly.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Why? Why?
I've tried and tried.
Yeah.
The things you want out of your life.
Right.
May not be the thing God wants to work on at
right
this
then.
Moment.
That's right.
And I've found that out this week.
Okay.
He works on specific things. Where you think you need to grow isn't where God thinks you need to grow, because God will try to make you grow in this spot because he sees down the road that because I grow you in this spot, I'm going to put somebody in front of you that you can use that testimony for.
Exactly.
All right?
Yes, we've
and
always
got to. That's what
be.
I'm learning.
Yes.
I've learned that a lot this week. I've tried to work on some personal things in my life, and God's like, no, that ain't ready yet.
Okay.
So I
agree with that.
You have to recognize that growth. You have to recognize that area. And that's where it comes from walking in the Spirit.
That
and
is.
Not doing
yes.
it yourself.
Yes, that's where you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Megan, what's your comments on James's comment right there?
My comment on James's comment is he's right on.
Okay.
Because you cannot perfect yourself.
Right.
You have to let God work on you.
Yeah.
You have to let the Holy Spirit work on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I found in my 38, almost 39 years of life. Is
now we know how old
that,
she is.
Well, I don't care because I'll never act my age. So
okay.
when I'm 80, I'll still be 10. So
there you go.
Amen, sister.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we need to, when we get up in the mornings, it's like, instead of focusing on what you're not good at, focus on what is laid in front of you and ask the Lord to have you do your best. And when you tell the Holy Spirit that I'm here, Lord, I'm willing, I'm
good
ready,
point.
Then he takes over.
Don't you think?
And
yes.
he'll guide every step, every word that
yes.
comes out of your mouth.
He will.
He even guides the people that come into your life that day. And I
Ooh.
Guarantee that if you tell the Lord, today, Lord, I want to be the light. Let me spread your light. Lord Jesus, be with me today. That I'm going to tell you right now that no matter whether you got to speak of your testimony, just the fact that you shared the love of Christ with someone that came into your path that day, you made an impact on your life, and the Lord, your Father, was proud of you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. My name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
It so applies to what we're talking about right now. If you're just joining us on Living the Good Life, we are talking about being set free. And we're talking about being set free from our regrets. We're talking about being set free from our past. Dr. Angel, why would we want to talk about that? Well, let me turn your mic back on. That'll help.
Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. Well, because so many of us are in the shackles of our past, it's literally a prison that keeps us bound, and it keeps us from living our God-given purpose, our living in our God-given identity, living to all that God has called us to be. And it keeps us living in the less than life. It robs us of testimony. It robs us of energy. It robs us all the time.
How do you know if you're living in the past?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Well, you find yourself doing things that like you used to do and thinking ways of things like you've always thought. You know you're living in the past when you feel like you are not living completely to your purpose in life that God has called you to.
Let me give you an example. Let's say that one of the things you've struggled with a lot in the past has been insecurity, inferiority, rejection, right? And you claim, you put a stake in the ground and you say, okay, I'm not going to give into that stuff anymore. I'm going to be who God's created me to be. And then a situation happens and you feel yourself going right back into those same thought patterns. Megan, talk to us about it. Why does that happen? And what do you do about it? And is it common for people to jump right back into those things that they feel like they had conquered at one point?
It's totally normal because we're human. And right. I'll tell you what, there's somebody out there named the devil that's after the chosen one, which is us Christians. And he's after us because he doesn't want us to walk around sharing the good light of
That's
the Lord.
Right. He doesn't want us.
He doesn't want us living in joy and peace and mercy and grace. He wants us in upheaval.
Exactly.
Every day, he wants our families tore up, and he will tempt you left and right. He knows what pushes your buttons.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, when you find yourself backsliding into your old habits, the first thing that you need to do is say, okay, Satan, not today.
Amen.
And you learn how to put him under your feet, because by the power and authority that Jesus Christ gave us when he walked this earth, we have the same. And we can tell the devil where to go. And I'm here to tell him, and he knows he doesn't win, and he knows it. So, you know, that's where you say, just simply say, Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ. And he has to flee at the name, because it terrifies him, because he knows. And if you can, even if you can quote a scripture, he runs. He don't want anything to do with you. Leave you alone.
Amen.
And so if you feel yourself backsliding, I can guarantee you that's exactly who it is. It's the nasty old devil.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's go to John chapter 10 and let's go to verse 9. Jesus said this. He said, I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. Okay? It's all about Jesus, people. This radio broadcast is always all about the Word and Jesus. That's what it's about. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. Some translations call it the gate. The one who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in, he will go out freely, and will find pasture. But verse 10 of John 10 is probably one of my most quoted verses, because right here, Jesus exposes the work of the devil in our lives. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. That's who he is. Angel, talk about this, because when we talk about breaking old habit patterns, when we talk about being set free, we need to talk about, both of you, Megan, James, all of us, we need to be talking about from to. What are we being set free from? We're being set free from the work of the devil in our lives, the stealing, killing, and destroying that he does. We're being set free from our old regrets, the song we just sang, Hello, My Name is Regret, right? We need to be set free from some of the habits that have gotten us so twisted in knots from time to time, and set free to this new life that he has for us in freedom. Talk to us, Angel. And then, Maya, I'm going to come to you for a comment in a minute. You ready?
Well, you know, the devil is, you know, he's tricky. He, you know, uses all kinds of tools to get us to believe lies. And that's why having that truth in us is so vital.
Yes.
Because we are constantly being bombarded by lies from people, from culture, from all kinds of places. And it's so easy for us to accept that thinking. You know, I work a lot with substance abuse, and I've had many patients who, you know, had a problem with drugs or had a problem with alcohol, and they realized this is not where they wanted to be, and they went to rehab and they got help, and, you know, they started learning healthy coping patterns, and maybe they've had, you know, 10 years clean, 15 years clean, and then all of a sudden they relapse.
Right.
And everyone's like, how could that happen? Because that's what happens to us as Christians.
Yes.
We have that relapse when we fall back into those
old patterns.
Because, you know, sometimes we get comfortable.
Yes.
You know, and we're not, you know, reading as much. And
we're not on guard.
We aren't on guard.
We're taking a nap.
And we get a, you know, little bit of, you know, freedom under our belt, and it's so easy for us to fall back. You know, that kind of reminds me of Galatians 5:1, where it's for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Yes.
Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
And I think it's so easy for that to continue happening because we don't stay standing firm.
And see, that's what this series is about. We're actually going to talk in a few minutes, folks, about the cycle of abuse that happens in relationships, and how that really works against us, and what to do to get set free from that. We're going to bring that up in a little while. But first of all, we want to set the stage here. the devil is always trying to get you back into your old habit patterns. Talk to us, Maya.
It's a struggle of my life.
Okay.
To be honest. He knows exactly what buttons to push. He knows exactly what corner to turn to get to me. And I'm a very extremely emotional person. And he knows that. He uses my own thoughts against me. He uses my husband against me. He uses my marriage. For someone who's dealt with insecurities her whole life, he uses that against me. And I literally have to stand up and say, this is not of God. God is not the author of fear.
So I want to make this point very strong to our audience about what you just said. The devil knows your weaknesses, does he not?
Yes.
I like to refer to it as our Achilles heel. Our Achilles heel is that weak part, right? You don't ever want to have an injury. Have any of you ever had an injury in your Achilles heel? It's extremely painful. You have, Angel, I think. I remember when you broke your foot and you were on a little, some kind of a coaster thing for a while, coming to church on that thing with your cast and all that years ago. It's one of the most painful injuries, they say, to get is that Achilles heel. That, and the devil knows exactly how to get to you. Talk about that, Maya, because we fall back into those same habit patterns so easily. It's not that we're not saved. We're saved. But we are battling the flesh. We're battling our old ways of thinking. Talk to us.
In order for me to step forward every morning, I have to put on my armor in Ephesians 6. Me and James, we pray together before we leave. And then as soon as I get in the car, it's the devil's hitting me. Oh, well, you know, he's doing this. Or, oh, you're going to have a horrible day today. Or you're not a good teacher. Or whatever nonsense he puts in my head. So as soon as I get into the parking lot at work, I pull out my Bible and I go through Ephesians 6. I put on, you know, my helmet of
good
salvation, my breastplate of righteousness.
Yes.
I cover my feet with peace. And I stay on that and I say, Lord, I need to walk in your peace today. Because if not, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail, and I already know it. So I already prepare myself every day. We could have an amazing morning at the house, worshiping and everything. But as soon as I get into my car and drive, just it overwhelms me.
Okay, well, I would suggest, I'm going to make a suggestion that you go out and anoint your steering wheel and your car with oil. I'm not kidding you, okay? Go out, plead the blood of Jesus before you get in tomorrow, all right? And because if that's the place that the devil attacks you, attack right back.
Okay.
Okay? Talk to us, Angel, about all of this.
Well, it's true. The devil knows exactly where to hit us. He knows our weak spots. He knows the people that he can use. To, you know, he uses all kinds of tools. And, you know, staying guard is really important. It's hard. I think a lot of times, too, for Christians, we don't want to admit when we're struggling with old patterns or old things.
Yeah, we don't like to admit it. It's a weakness, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that it's a weakness, but what are other people going to think? Are they going to think maybe I'm not really a Christian, or maybe I don't really have faith, or something's wrong with me? Like, you know, those thoughts start going through our head, so we're less likely to reach out and get a prayer partner or get somebody that
we
can,
are.
You know,
right.
talk to and help break these cycles for ourselves. So we kind of...
We need a prayer partner. We need a prayer partner, very definitely. Megan addressed this, and Megan and her mom, Betty, and I have these three-way prayer times, don't we, Meg?
Oh, we do.
All heaven comes down some days when I'll say, text, can you guys pray right now? Okay, and they call. Of course, they're going through Starbucks and buying those iced teas that cost $25.06 a piece. Which I love to tease them about, you know. So I think they'd be wealthy women if they didn't go to Starbucks. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. But no, Meg, what do we do? Tell us what we do, and why is it important? Threefold cord is easily broken.
Well, they are, but I have to throw out there that sometimes you also join us in our tea adventures yourself.
Oh, man, so you had to tell on me. Thanks a lot.
The truth is out of the bag. I know.
It is, no. Okay, I admit, sometimes I let you buy me one of those $22 teas. Yeah, I do.
That's right, because we love you.
Yes, thank you. So go ahead.
Well, you know, when you let us know that you need some help in the intercession of the heavenlies, is that's the people that you can call on in your life. In a moment where you feel like that you just need some backup, them's your people.
And them's your people.
Them's your people.
Right.
And they don't have to go into a prayer closet. They'll do it wherever they are. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it says in the Bible, in the scriptures, where two or three or more are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. And the Lord, I tell you what, when the three of us pray, the Lord hears us. He knows we're coming because we're loud.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
crazy.
The devil knows that we're coming for him because we get even louder.
Because
we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that if there is something blocking something from happening that's going to be a blessing or a testimony for that person, that there's going to be a breakthrough.
Oh, yeah.
And it's important to have those people in your life.
Yes.
Because sometimes, I'll just tell you, there's no words that can come out of your mouth to pray. Sometimes it's just that hard, and you need those people in your life to stand in the gap for you.
Absolutely.
And
that's a good reason to come to church, people. Right?
Exactly.
And Megan, I wish you would have been there today. You will be in 2 weeks. But I tell you, there was ministry to everybody, I think, in the room today. And at the end, we were getting ready to kind of wrap up. And Nan said, come on, everybody get up here and surround the pastor. And boy, was that an amazing time of you all laying hands on me and praying for me. I don't know about you, James, but I felt like God was so right there when all that was going on today. We need each other.
Yeah, we definitely need each other. This week I had probably one of my worst weeks at work. I dare to say it was my worst week I've ever had with this job. And I've been there almost a year. And I come into church Wednesday, you know, Bible study. I was defeated.
Yeah.
I was crying.
Yeah.
I was upset. I had been hurt. I was mad. And I love my church family.
Yeah. It was great.
This morning, Wednesday, you feel loved. You just...
Yes, yes.
It speaks to your inside.
It does.
It speaks to your heart. It speaks to your soul. It speaks to your spirit. When you have that kind of connection...
Right.
...with your church body, with your church family.
Yes.
And we have this little thing we do to WhatsApp. And this week, I forget who it was, sent out a message, I need prayer. And within 3 or 4 minutes, I believe it was Michelle that responded, you know, I'm praying for you, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that as a family.
Oh, absolutely.
Just, and we can do that anytime.
We
and
can.
There's always somebody that responds within a few minutes.
Yeah.
And
that's what it's all about.
You feel the love.
You feel
the
love.
And when you're surrounded by people that also are connected to God and just,
yeah.
I don't know. It makes, when you join a bunch of lights together,
yeah,
they're a lot brighter, right?
Yeah, they sure are.
And they feed off of each other.
That's a good point.
And the glow is bigger. And if I dare say, Beacon of Hope glows.
It does.
It glows. It glows. It glows. It glows. And
praise God.
I'm so happy that me and Maya found this church a little over a year. Well, I mean, I knew about it before, but Maya drugged me through prayer.
Yeah.
And I will say that through prayer, she drugged me back into church.
Praise God. So. Woo! Talk to us, Angel.
Well, we do need each other. You know, life is hard and it throws a lot at us. And it's so easy for us to get kind of tunneled in and sucked into our world and believe the lies, not be able to see things objectively, not be able to even see the truth. I mean, there were times that I felt so sucked in that I could read the Bible and I still couldn't see it for the truth that it was, because
exactly.
I was so sucked into that thinking that was just taking me down a really bad path. And so that's when we need to bounce things. We need to be able to come in and say, hey, I'm struggling. Can you pray with me
or for me?
Or, you know, can we chat about this?
Yes.
Or just knowing there's like support.
Right.
But it's support for our spirit. It's support for, you know, we're body, soul, and spirit, and everything's combined. So when we are sick physically, when we are struggling emotionally, or it all affects us spiritually, and it all goes back and forth. And so for us to be all that God has called us to be, we have to take care of all of us.
Exactly.
But we need to plug in. We are not islands. We cannot do it on our own.
No, we really can't. And Hebrews chapter 12, 14 and 15. I want to go there. We were there this morning, but it comes, it's perfect right here. probably the writer of Hebrews was Paul, and he says here in Hebrews 12:14, strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. And he's not talking about being perfection. It's not perfection. It's becoming like Jesus is what he's talking about. But verse 15 is very important. I even wrote it on my little board this morning. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another. That's what I hear you saying too, James. Look after one another to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth, causes trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled by it. Talk about this, Megan, our responsibility to each other, that we not dwell in bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and miss the blessings that God has for us, Meg.
Yes, ma'am, because when we focus on those things, we lose sight of God working in our lives. And, you know, whether people want to believe it or not, we're all family in the kingdom of God. And family takes care of each other. Family uplifts each other. Family prays for each other. Family upholds those when they're down. And when you come into the arms of your Father, you are also unified with another huge body of believers that is a unified front for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And when you discover those other Jesus people, I tell you, it's a blessing because
it is, isn't it?
When I moved to Michigan, you know, we didn't know anybody, we didn't have family, but the Lord blessed me with a job that got me out and about in the public.
Right.
And I'll tell you, even more so now within the last couple of months, the people that have stepped in my life are a blessing. And it's so fun to know all of, and especially Beacon of Hope, to have all of you guys as family. And even though you're 1,000 miles away, you know, one call or one text, you're on the job. And
right.
That's what we do. That's what we're about.
Oh, you're so right, Meg. Talk about that, Angel. And we're glad, Megan, that you're coming down in 2 weeks. So go ahead, Angel.
Yes, we are glad Megan's coming down in a few weeks. But and that's what being in the family of God is all about. You know, we're all children of God, and he loves each of us equally. And, you know, I think we have to step aside from ourselves. I think it's easy for us to decide this person is more valuable or less valuable, or, you know, instead of looking at where we're struggling, it's really easy to look at and be like, oh, well, that person's doing X, Y, Z. And then we start building up the.
You got to quit doing that, Angel.
I know. I really need to stop. It's bad. But that's when we start building things like bitterness,
sure,
and resentment.
Sure,
and then it
is.
Causes, you know, conflicts
it
in
does.
The family.
Right.
And we can't have that. We're called
we can't
to love.
Have it. That's
our
right.
place isn't to get to judge. We're called to love. We're called, you know, to be in peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And
that's what
so,
it says right here. Exercise foresight. Strive to live in peace. We don't have a perfect at Beacon of Hope. I don't want anybody out there to say that, to think that we are touting our horn and saying nobody else does it right. No. We're just a bunch of humans.
Absolutely.
And do we make mistakes? Do sometimes we say things we shouldn't to somebody and we have to go apologize?
To
Absolutely.
Other.
And to each other, right, James?
Yeah, to each other.
Yeah,
I've had to go and apologize to people
sure,
in our church.
Sure.
I've said, Pastor
yes.
Jim, I went to him within a month and a being there, and I just felt like I had done wrong, and I went to him and I had to make it right.
Right.
And that's made mine and his relationship grow.
Grow. That's,
you know,
what that's
it,
what we
you
should
have
be
to,
doing.
You have to, and when I first come, I wasn't the person I am now, but I listened.
Sure.
I listened to the Spirit. I went home that week, and it bugged me that I had caused strife between me and him, that I had told him that I was right and he was wrong, and that's what I was trying to prove, and I wasn't right and he wasn't wrong. It was
right.
the issue between us.
Right.
It was the way we had talked to each other.
Exactly.
And I was so bad. I felt bad about it. And I've since apologized to other people in the church that I've done. And that's where that love comes from. We know yes. when we do something wrong. When you know it and you feel it, and God, your spirit, he speaks to your spirit and says, you know, you've done this wrong. It's that matter of listening and going and apologizes and making things right. And we were reading in the Bible, and it says when you're laying your altar,
yeah.
you're offering up on the
yes.
altar, if you have an issue with your brother, go
yes.
to your brother and
yes.
make it right first.
Make it right.
And that, you know, that causes problems.
Absolutely.
Your connection with God, that causes a problem with your connection, I think.
And there are times in our lives, like you just brought up, I've done it. I've had to do it in just this week with someone. Say, look, you know what? I handled that wrong, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry. You know, and if it hurt you, which obviously it did hurt you, I'm sorry the way I handled that. We're going to talk more about this in the second hour, but we want people to know that we don't feel like we got it all together. Mm. We're just struggling together to become the church that God wants us to be. Angel, you want to comment on that? Because Megan thinks she's got it all together. No, I'm teasing, Meg.
And it's just taking it day by day and being humble and submissive to God and letting him let you know. He'll let you know when you're making mistakes. He'll let you know when you're doing something wrong, and being willing to go make amends, being willing to be open about and, you know, ask for forgiveness and to try to change what you're doing.
Exactly.
And that's all about relationship.
It's a relationship. It's about humility, too.
Yes.
And humility really means being teachable.
Yes.
Right? That's what it means. They said that the Bible said, God said that Moses was the meekest person on the earth. The what meekness means is humility. What humility means is teachable.
Yes.
Therefore, in all those years before God began to really use Moses, he was 80 years old before God began to really use him. 40 years in Egypt as the son of the princess of Egypt, and 40 years on the backside of the desert taking care of sheep, which we talked about this morning. We may talk about it again. I don't know. Moses was a shepherd. He learned the ways of God. He talked to God. He was not in some lofty position. God said, that man's humble. He's teachable. And that's what we need to be. Oh, boy, it is at the top of the hour, is it not? We got to do this real quick.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.